And this is Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria, 91.9, KTCB Tillamook, 89.5, and coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world. For a lightweight, let's send that out to my luggage on Greyhound. And then let's send it to Squamish and Vancouver and New York. And some happy birthdays in New York to Wendy and Susan, and last week to Vivian. And wherever you are, I hope it's happy for you too. We're going to be dedicating the show to all of the people, all of the children, everybody who could well benefit by all of the amazing arts that exist. Here, you're going to hear about them in the next hour, and all over the world. And I think that if people got involved in the arts, and if schools made sure that the arts were featured heavily in their schools, you know, STEAM, not just STEM, then we'd have much more peace, contentment, satisfaction, joy, cooperation, coordination, all the good stuff that the arts bring, not to mention creativity and problem solving. So, with deep sorrow for the latest in all of the travesties that go on, we send this out. And we want to thank people who make sure this program happens, because it's time for Arts Live and Local. This is Carol, your host. Well, we got lots coming to you, and I'm going to start right off with some music in the, and then you'll meet my first guests and find out what's going on in the jazz world. Thank you. Oh, that was wonderful. That is, let's see if I can get this right. Please correct me, Ruth. Paolo Alderighi and Stephanie Trick.
Yep.
Okay, Sentimental Journey is the album, and that was Stop Time Rag. And boy, that got us going. Okay, folks, think. It's almost the end of February. 35 years ago, a festival started the same time that KMUN started, and that is the now called the Seaside Jazz Festival. And I have here Ruth Johnson, who's been co-coordinating for many years, and Dennis Brodigan, who is going to be taking over the reins starting next year, or are you already involved?
I'm in training this
You're
year.
You're in training. Good, good. Okay. It's a huge festival. So welcome, Ruth and Dennis.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. It's nice to be back.
Yes, it's wonderful to have you. And how long have you been doing this?
Judy and I have been co-directors for 10 years, but I've probably been a volunteer on the event for 34 of the 35 years in some shape or form.
Wow. Fantastic. Oh, my goodness. So how are you? What are you going to do now? You're leaving the directorship, the coordinating, but are you sticking around? And
oh, absolutely.
You're just now going to have a good time.
Yep.
Not have to worry about anything.
No, just keep an eye on Dennis.
Oh, I was going to say maybe you'll even wear a costume so they won't recognize you and nobody will come and ask you questions. Well, it's a fantastic celebration of jazz. It started off as what?
Traditional jazz or Dixieland jazz.
It was called the Oregon
Dixieland Jubilee.
Jubilee, mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And how did it transform? Was it because the bands changed or what made you decide to broaden it to other kinds?
The audience changed. There was less interest in just listening to Dixieland. And as musicians were trying to find work and they saw this opportunity to get on the jazz circuit, they started bringing their music into the jazz festivals. And when people got something different, like Tom Rigney or the Memphis Speed Kings,
we went crazy.
Exactly. And so then we were sort of stuck with them. We had to keep coming them back, bringing them back.
Right. Right. So this year, 35th annual. Wait, before I get to that, though, Dennis, how long have you been attending the festival?
For many years, and mostly with the Seaside Elks, which is one of the venues for the festival. Mm-hmm. As a member of the Elks and the ER, as they call them there.
What is that?
Exalted Ruler.
Excuse me. I didn't know.
Well, that's usually the reaction that you get.
I wouldn't have baked a cake, but I might have. Nah, I wouldn't have done anything. It's good to have you here, though.
But that's how I got involved with it. And then actually last year, Ruth and Judy asked if our band could play because they had some slots to fill. So we filled some slots last year.
What band are you?
It's called the Fabulous Garage Band.
Nice, nice combo of terms.
Well, and I told her we don't play jazz. And that's when we got into the discussion of having it opened up to different types of music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Well, I think it's been morphing over time, though, with Tom Rigney, as you say, I remember, because it was clearly not traditional and clearly a hugely popular act. So
when people started listening to Dave Bennett doing Elvis Presley and music that we grew up with, mm-hmm. People got even more excited. Mm-hmm. It's just fun to pretend like 50 years haven't passed.
Yeah, right, right. Or celebrate those 50 years. But also, I remember one year, a whole bunch of young people came from Portland. I think they were from Portland. And they were swing dancers. And you gave them some kind of a good deal, and they came and they danced, and it was gorgeous. They were happy. Everybody was happy.
It's interesting that some of these young dancers like this really do prefer the trad bands because of the beat. They just and to watch them is like watching poetry in motion.
It is
they really can dance. And
oh yeah,
and you'd like to think that you danced like that, but probably not.
It's a great joy though, and the dancing, and also, as I said, the joy that they give off because they're so happy to have good live music to dance to.
That's exactly right.
So that's
why they're there.
Right.
And
right.
Of the five venues that we have, four of those have dance floors, so there's lots of opportunity to try out your new step.
Let me ask one more question, then let's get to the logistics. People come from where for this festival? Is this the only one in Oregon?
There's one in Coos Bay that will be happening in March.
Okay.
But yes, we get a lot of people out of the Washington area because there aren't any festivals left in Washington anymore.
Really?
And, yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
That's
so
sad.
It is. But, and we're of that close proximity to the Seattle area. We get a lot of people from there.
Sure. So it's good for the town as well because these are the folks who come and fill the beds.
Absolutely.
Heads in beds.
Yep.
As they say. Okay, so now tell us a little bit about this year. It's next weekend. That's it's the 22nd through the 25th. So that's
We start out on Thursday night with a special kickoff, and but we're sold out. We did pre-sale only on those tickets.
Okay.
That's with Dave Bennett and the Speed Kings. And but then the music starts at 2 o'clock on Friday at the Convention Center, and it goes all day, the rest of the day on Friday, all day Saturday. And Sunday morning is our free gospel. We actually will have two, one in each of the rooms at the Convention Center.
Nice.
And it's open to the public, and an opportunity to hear two excellent bands. And then when the gospel is over, then the rest of the festival continues starting at 11 and ends around 4 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday.
This is great news because there's so much going on in our area. It's nice to realize that we can take part in everything. And that reminded me when I said that about we were born at the same year, 35 years ago, and KMUN actually used to broadcast the festival because it was in Astoria. Did it start only in Astoria? It was always both.
Yes.
And then it moved completely to
Seaside.
And that put us out of the, we couldn't broadcast from there. Someday maybe, but at this point not. But boy, that was fun. I cherish those days because I got to help with the broadcasting and I got to dance with that. And can I tell that story again, how I was on the airplane and I looked, just you're sitting on an airplane, you open up the literature or the magazine, and there is my picture with this 75-year-old woman. Of course, it sounds like that's so old, but actually I'm almost, anyway, this is 34 years ago, so I was a lot younger, and I was basically her post, because she was dancing up a storm, and I was kind of holding on to her hand and, giving her a little, but there we were in this little brochure that's in the airplanes, I'm talking national airplanes, telling about all the great festivals going on, and I thought, well, we've made it, haven't we?
We've arrived. We have arrived.
It was so much fun, and it is still so much fun. What are the venues?
There are three at the Convention Center in Seaside, and there's one at the Best Western up on the Prom, 4th and Prom, and also at the Seaside Elks.
And I'd like to add, if I could, since we're talking about the musicians, Ruth and Judy in the past years have been opening up a little bit to local musicians, and they have done again even more so this year. The Swing Cats from Astoria will be playing with Rich Tamassian, Maggie and the Cats, some sort of feline thing going on here. And then out of Cannon Beach, and then also Jazz Attitude, a band out of Wheeler, will be there as well.
Wonderful. So how does that work? Do you slip them into different spots?
Yep. If you look at your schedule, you'll see Jazz Attitude is playing on Friday evening. Maggie is playing twice on Saturday. And Rich is playing twice on Friday, I believe.
It's
Richard Tomasian, or Richard T., who plays in this area a lot, as does Maggie and the Cats, of which
he's
Richard
been in and
is
out
a member.
Yeah, he has been a member of the Fabulous Garage Band, too.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. Well, let's face it, we've got fabulous musicians around here. What do you play?
Accordion and guitar.
Okay. And are you playing this year, too, or no? No, you can't.
No,
you're working.
No, I'll be busy observing.
You're going to be the exalted coordinator in training.
Absolutely.
I never called you that before. I think this year, as this is your last year in leadership, we should call you the exalted leaders.
I think that's a good idea. Yeah. These ladies have done an absolutely fabulous job.
Yeah.
And I'm very reluctant to come up and try to match what they've been doing over the past few years.
Well, how many bands are featured in addition to the local bands that you just mentioned?
We have a total, I think, of 15 or 16 this year, counting the local bands. So
it's a huge coordinating job. And scheduling.
Yes.
I know how.
I don't even want to talk about the schedule. Because
no, we don't want to scare Dennis.
Oh, I have a new way of doing it. It's called a dartboard.
I see.
Then we have to coordinate with them. A lot of our musicians fly in to Portland and then rent cars and come on down to Seaside. And then some have to leave early on Sunday just to catch their flight. So trying to coordinate all of that is it's a challenge.
Where do the musicians come from?
We have musicians this year from Connecticut, Florida, California, Washington, Oregon, Idaho. So they come from all over. Stephanie and Paulo actually are 6 months in Missouri, St. Louis, and 6 months in Italy, because that's where he's from.
That's the music we opened with, that wonderful Stop Time Rag. And you said they have been here before?
2 years ago they were here, but they were already booked for last year, so we weren't able to have them. But they're back.
And they have someone else playing with them?
They do. They have Danny Coots, who's been on the jazz circuit for years. He played with Titan Hot 7, and he's out of Nashville, and he plays all kinds of music with all different kinds of bands, and he does a lot of recording with bands. So he's very well known on the jazz circuit as it is.
The easiest thing for you to do, folks, if you're listening, and I hope you are getting excited, because what you just heard is people are coming from all over the country to perform for us right here in Clatsop County, right here in Seaside. Easiest thing, am I right, is jazzseaside.com.
That's correct.
Check out the website and you will see the entire, oh my Lord, you've got it scheduled for next year already. Oh, wow, that's great. And there's a map involved, but Seaside isn't that big. It's easy. Is there a shuttle this year?
Yes.
There's a shuttle as well, so you don't even if it rains and pours, you don't have to worry. This is next weekend. Now, yes, if you live in Astoria, you know what's going on in Astoria is the Fisher Poets Gathering, which is also all weekend. These are two incredible old festivals, well established, and the good news is you can take them both in. So give it a try, jazzseaside.com, and listen to some of this amazing music I'm putting on in the background. This is the Swing Kings.
Speed Kings.
Speed Kings. I'm swinging to this music. Speed Kings.
Dave Bennett. Don't miss Dave Bennett.
And where does Dave Bennett come from?
He's from Michigan.
Okay.
He's a delightful young man that started out playing clarinet with a traditional jazz band, and he's morphed into doing rockabilly, and he's played at Carnegie Hall. He has played at the Schnitz.
Oh, wow.
And he will be doing a Benny Goodman special set on Saturday night, Benny Goodman.
So he lives where?
In Michigan.
In Michigan, but he's played at the Schnitz. Wow.
It's world class.
It is world class. Check it out again, jazzseaside.com. Thank you so much, Ruth Johnson, and also Judy Shook, who is not here, but she is in spirit. Those two women have pioneered this, and for the last 10 years, although, as Ruth said, she's been with the festival. Was it a committee that was putting it together?
Originally, it was the Clatsop County Historical Society that started the Jazz Festival. And some of their members had been to Sacramento, where the granddaddy of all jazz festivals was at that time. And they came home, and they said, we think we can do this in Clatsop County.
Wow.
And they did.
Everything happens in Clatsop County. Right?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much for coming in, Ruth Johnson. And Dennis Brodigan, good luck to you. I don't
Thank
even
you.
Have to say break a leg because you're not in the theater, so don't. But good
Thank
luck.
You. Thank you.
Okay. We'll see you next year.
Yes.
Okay, folks. This is next weekend at the All Over Seaside. Check it out. JazzSeaside.com. Stay tuned. I've got more jazz coming for you, but it's a different kind of jazz. Coast Community Radio, your community radio station.
When I was down on Bourbon Street at Willie Ben's, Uncle Willie wasn't selling but a little gin. One cat ordered a bottle of wine. Chipped that cat for the dime on the dime. Drinking wine, Spotty Oda drinking wine. Wine, Spotty Oda drinking wine. Give me a drink. Pass that bottle to me. Let me have it now. Thank you.
gorgeous music. Quite different from the jazz we were listening to before. This is Dimitri Matheny, a jazz treasure indeed. And he will be here. He probably is here already, although he's not here in the studio, but my guest is. And she's going to tell us about. Elaine Murdy Truckee is here from the Cannon Beach History Center and Museum, and they are featuring Dimitri Matheny tonight in a jazz noir concert. I was not familiar with his music, but I am now. It is just gorgeous.
It is so wonderful. He is incredibly talented man. I had not heard of him before he approached us. And he approached us last year and booked this concert. And I went online and started listening to his performances and was just blown away. He plays more upbeat stuff as well. But
yeah. I know. We had a choice.
Yes.
But this piece was so luscious.
Yes. It's one of my favorites. I just love it.
So who is he? And where does he live? And what's jazz noir? not too many questions at once. Okay.
Dimitri, he seems like he's a bit of a traveler. It sounds like he's from different places, but he's traveled or is traveling all over the Pacific Northwest promoting his new album, which is his jazz noir album.
That's what we were just playing
and,
from.
Yeah. Okay. And he is playing a lot of timeless classics, but he does something. He's not playing songs that you hear all the time. He's going to be playing songs from film noir. He will also be playing some songs from Twin Peaks, which is a historic or cult classic in the Northwest here. And then, of course, some songs from Hitchcock's classic films as well.
Okay, now, hold on. It may be a cult classic in the Northwest, but I think it's a TV thing, isn't it? Twin Peaks. Why is it? What does it have to do with the Northwest?
I believe most of it was filmed in Oregon and Washington, Twin Peaks.
Oh, heavens, I didn't realize that.
Yes,
okay.
And they filmed it, I can't remember if it was the 80s or early 90s, and then it was off the air, and then it was so popular, Netflix brought it back this last year.
I see.
So I have a feeling that his CD is well-timed.
Uh-huh. And I see the first piece, we actually played. What did I play from him? Was it number 11? Yes, The Long Goodbye.
Yes.
Which is John Williams and Johnny Mercer piece. But I see he's got some original, an original piece called Film Noir, and also a noir medley, which is kind of fantastic. Mancini and Raxon, Herman Goldsmith, and Harold Arlen, Blues in the Night, Chinatown. Who comes with him? Does he play? He doesn't play.
He's going to be playing. He's supposed to be playing a duo, but every time we've talked, it sounds like he's going to have other people
it's
with him.
It's getting bigger and bigger.
So we have a pretty small space if you've never been there before. So I got a little nervous. Uh-huh. He actually emailed me to ask if we could get a grand piano in.
Oh, my goodness.
And I said, well, only if it's the Twilight Zone, because we have a small doors. And so that he said, well, I'll figure it out.
Okay.
But
that's hilarious. Yeah. So now, wasn't he? That's in the space where you show art, isn't
it?
Yes.
Yes.
Right. Right. No. Grand piano's going to make it in there.
No.
So, but he's on, and trumpet is his instrument.
Yes.
That's the one instrument he plays. So, where you hadn't heard of him? How did he hear about you? Are you on some kind of a list that people get in touch?
Apparently, we get a lot of musicians who come, and we're kind of limiting how many people we can have each year. But John Stoll has played many times at the museum, and he just loves the space. So he tells all his buddies about it. And so Dimitri was someone that was at a jazz event with John, and John mentioned, you should really go to this place in Cannon Beach. So he reached out to us and said, can I come play? And that's how we actually got the Daniel Bennett Band last year, and then this year him.
That's pretty funny because John Stoll plays either solo or with a singer, period, with the magnificent soft jazz that he plays. So this is quite, although some of this, like the piece we just played, it's lyrical, etc. Tell us a little bit about the Cannon Beach History Center and Museum. It's got this huge title. I love the place because you have exhibits that are fantastic. Yes. And you have that art space that's also a performance space. Mm-hmm. And now, and I actually, for full disclosure, have two other guests in the studio, but they're not on the mics yet because they have their own spot to talk about. You have been combining events with the Cannon Beach Arts Association, haven't you?
Yes, they've been having workshops in our space, and it's just been wonderful to do.
How long has that been? How long has that been going on?
A year now. Okay. They hired a new director, and they have a new event coordinator, Megan Sokol, and her and I have been working to do workshops and classes, and they're going to be doing some really fun stuff in there this summer. And it's just as you've been in, it's a great space. It's really warm. It has a great sound, and it's also a wonderful, well-lit place to make some art, and people really enjoyed it.
And Cannon Beach is also not very big. So although you probably wouldn't want to be running back and forth, you easily, on a nice day, could do the walk, or you can just zip over, but you're only a few minutes apart from the Cannon Beach Gallery.
Yes.
So wonderful to be sharing the space. And I think, let's see, Patty Breidenbach is coming tomorrow to the Cannon Beach History Center and Museum. Why does it get such a long name, Elaine? I know you didn't give it, but how did
that? We actually just had a conversation this morning about how the board, it was the Cannon Beach Historical Society, and they had a board meeting to discuss shortening the name because they felt like that was too long. And they spent an hour in discussions and came out with an even longer name.
Oh, no.
And as a grant writer, I can tell you it's a nightmare because most of you, if you've ever written a grant, you know there's a word count. So having Cannon Beach History Center and Museum is such a challenge. So this morning the board and I were talking about, do you think we could shorten it and people would still be okay
with
it?
I usually just write CBHM, which is Cannon Beach History Museum.
Yes.
But I know you've got to say the right thing, but center doesn't really need to be in there because museum includes the music as well.
Yes.
How long have you been there?
I have been there over 8 years now.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Really? You took a little break for a little one.
Yes, I did. I had a little bit of a break about, he'll be 2.5 in March.
Okay.
And I took a little time off there. But yeah, it's been almost 9 years, actually.
I didn't realize that. What do you love most about the Cannon Beach History Museum? I'm going to say it.
I'm passionate about history, so of course the history comes to mind. But I definitely love the community. I love the Pacific Northwest, and I love Astoria Seaside and Cannon Beach, and just the lush history that we have here. But I think it's the freedom I get working in a small historical society to really run with ideas and do events like this and be a part of getting to meet cool jazz musicians and new artists and all the people that I meet.
And how long are the historical exhibits usually up? There's a permanent one, isn't there?
So we have a permanent exhibit, and then we have the canon that Cannon Beach is named for, and then we have a seasonal rotating exhibit that comes out every 9 months, and then we have rotating art exhibits, and those, depending on the artist, will be 1 month to three months at a time. Right now we have a historic photo exhibit up in the art space, which is really neat. They're photos from the archives that people have never seen, even I have never seen before.
Nice.
So really worth checking out. If you come to the concert, you'll see them.
And you flipped right by it. You said the Cannon Beach, the Cannon, after which the Cannon Beach is named, and I'm going, Did you hear that, folks? There's a real canon in this place.
There is a real canon. They found it in 1898. The museum got it in 2005. We did restoration in 2011, got it back in 2013, had to store it because it weighed too much for our building to hold. So we had to do some restructuring of the building. We had to build our own gantry system to install it. It was a process. Wow. But we do have it, and it's
so
on
listen,
display.
When he says, can you get a piano in there, what's the big deal? If you can put a cannon in, why can't you? Did you mean to say 1998, or it was found?
It was found in 1898.
So where was it all that for 100 years?
Almost 100 years, or a little over 100 years, it sat on the highway in Arch Cape because it was initially found in Arch Cape. And then in the 80s, I think around 1985, it was being vandalized and art items were being taken. And so the Clatsop County Historical Society, Oregon Department of Transportation, and some citizens in Arch Cape said, we got to move this. And they kind of did it overnight. So some people in Arch Cape were a little upset because it kind of disappeared. And then it was on display at the Heritage Museum until our building was sufficient to, and we actually put it outside and then built a building around it initially, but it wasn't humidity or temperature controlled, so there that's why we had to bring it inside.
Running a museum is quite a process there. Do you have a education in that?
My degree is in anthropology, but I minored in museum studies. So
that's a
that
good
was
combination.
My goal.
Good combination. It's a wonderful place, and it is small enough, unlike the Sorbonne, et cetera. It's small enough you can spend a few hours there, see the whole thing, read and visit with new artists, hear music, great little spot. Tell us where it is in Cannon Beach.
So we're located off the second exit, and we're literally right off the exit next to the Cannon Beach Fire Station at 1387 South Spruce. And the museum is free. The concert's not, but it's a little bit, it's a fundraiser.
That sounds good. So it's Spruce and what's the cross street there?
Spruce and Sunset.
Sunset, right.
Yes.
That's what I remember. So second exit, whichever way you're coming.
Yes.
Elaine, thank you so much. This is very exciting. Again, tonight at 7 p.m., Dimitri Matheny, the Jazz Noir Concert. And you get tickets at the door? Is that? Okay. So come a little early, obviously. 1387 South Spruce Street. the website is cbhistory.org or call 503-436-9301. Is anyone there?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much for coming
in.
Thanks,
Carol. Thanks for having me on the show.
And for putting all of these good things together.
Thank you.
I'm going to put on a little bit of music, and then I have another guest who knows a lot, and she's going to tell a lot, too. Here we go. Thanks for being here, folks. Coast Community Radio.
Stay buried. You weren't honest to me.
Cabin Project, and they are at the Sou'wester on Feb 24th from 11 to 3 workshop and 8 p.m. concert. So that's next weekend. And right now, as I mentioned, I have a couple of people in the studio, and they're both actually, they've both been in the studio before, but I'm not sure they've both spoken before. Emilio, have you been on the radio before?
I've been in here, but I've never spoke.
All right. We have a first-timer. Okay. And Emilio's mother has been here many times, and that would be Andrea Mace. Hi, Andrea.
Hello. So nice to see you again.
So nice to see you both. That's great. Now, the reason I mentioned that Andrea knows a lot about what we were just talking was because she was helping to run the Cannon Beach Arts Association for years.
Yes, I miss that a lot. It was a really great position to hold.
Yeah, you were there for quite a while.
For about as long as Elaine's tenure at the History Center, so it's an interesting parallel.
Right. But now you are working on your own.
Yes.
You're a realtor.
I am. I'm in real estate, and I'm here with a mom hat on, promoting Fire Mountain School and our annual fundraiser.
Which is happening?
We are having a raffle event on March 3rd that is being entitled Havana Nights.
I love it.
We have a live Cuban band, Sons de Cuba, from Portland.
Nice.
There will be Cuban food and then a no-host bar. Mm-hmm. So it'll be quite an event at the old Nehalem Fire Hall, right downtown Nehalem.
And Fire Mountain's been doing their benefits there for years.
Yes, I would say about 20 years for this raffle.
Wow.
And it's the grand prize is a trip anywhere that you choose to book it. So it's
maybe even Cuba.
Well, I don't know if they're allowing that anymore, but I'm not sure about that. So it's worth $4,000. So the first place winner gets to book a trip worth $4,000.
For full disclosure, I buy a ticket every year, and I haven't won yet, but you never know.
Many tickets myself and continue to. So
It's
fun to think about
because
winning.
The main thing is to support Fire Mountain School. Tell us about Fire Mountain School, and what does Emilio have to do with Fire Mountain School?
Well, this is – Emilio did a year of preschool there, and now this is his second year in the – elementary school program. He's a third grader this year.
Oh, my goodness.
And so he just is very loyal to the school, absolutely loves it.
What do you love about Fire Mountain School, Emilio?
Well,
I know you haven't gone to another school, so it's hard to compare, but what do you love?
I've been to one other school, but it's not like most schools. You have a little bit more freedom. You can go into the woods, and there's a lot of people that are really nice and awesome and do all sorts of cool stuff there.
What kinds of activities might you do?
Like every Thursday, there's Nat Day, Nature Awareness Day.
Oh, cool.
They take you on a hike and then you learn lots of stuff about nature. And every Wednesday, my mom teaches art.
Oh, nice.
And every Monday, there's swimming lessons in the morning.
Now, do you do things like math and reading, too?
Yes.
Oh, you do? Okay. I just wondered, maybe, you know, it sounds like a good time, but it sounded more like summer camp. But you do have regular academic subjects. So how many kids are in your class?
I think 6.
Mm-hmm. And are they all about your age? And how old are you?
I am 9.
Wow.
And the upper class is second graders through fourth graders this year. It's a little bit flexible from year to year, depending on the student body. And then there's a preschool kindergarten program also.
And Fire Mountain has also been around for something like 35 years.
You know, it started in 1983,
and it
was
KMUN.
A lot of nonprofits started around that time. There was something in the air for sure. So there's a lot of loyal people who love that school, and they all come out to this event, which is pretty neat. It's, you know, coming out of winter, it's a good time to see familiar faces that you haven't seen for a while.
How can people get, we don't give prices, but again, the main thing is you're supporting the school. the tickets are reasonable, especially considering that you're going to possibly win this humongous prize. How do people get tickets?
You know, the best way, if you don't know someone connected with the school, is to go to our website, which is firemountainschool.org. And there's a link on there that people can use credit cards in this digital age. So you just click one button and it'll set you up. And then we'll have a list of all the people who bought tickets online at the door. So you and another person get entry into the event with that ticket.
One ticket gets two people in.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And
it is.
If you don't have a ticket, do you think there'll be tickets available at the door?
There usually are. There's only 500 tickets. Last year, I think, was one of the record-breaking years, and we sold 488.
Okay.
And a lot of them were sold that day and night.
Okay. So it's from 5:30, am I right?
Mm-hmm. It starts at 5:30. The music will start at 6, and the band will play for 2 hours. There's also going to be an amazing silent auction that I'm organizing. I've hit up all the artists and jewelers I know. We're going to have some amazing jewelry at that. And some stays, things that, like, there's a couple cabins in Falcon Cove that will be in the auction. So some neat local prizes with the drawing at, I believe, 8:30 is when the winning ticket will be chosen. We have two second place prizes, too. There is the The Lodge at Columbia Point. It's the new lodge. In Cannon Beach, the Lodge. It's their newest venture on the Columbia River.
Okay.
So a $500 stay there is second place. And then in third place is a $250 gift certificate to Brighton Bush.
Fantastic.
So lots of wonderful things happening there.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for letting us know about this. Folks, again, this is happening the 3rd of March.
Yes.
And it's at the old Fire Hall in Nehalem, 35900 8th Street. You just take a right. Well, depends which way you're coming from, but it's, it's west, I guess, on 8th
It's a
8th
tiny
Street.
Little town. You'll
it's
be
even
able
tinier
to find
than
it.
Everywhere else we've been talking about. Thank you so much. And Emilio, thank you for telling us about your schooling.
You are welcome.
Wonderful. And wish me luck.
Okay. Always.
Thanks so much, Andrea and Emilio Mace from the firemountainschool.org. Got a little bit of music, and then we got some live music coming in, so do stay tuned. This is Larry Kaplan, who's going to be here next week for Fisher Poets Gathering.
River up, river down, tied in a bar to cross over. 10 miles back we were making good time. Oh, what a way to grow older. River up, river down, tied in a bar to cross over. 10 miles back we were making good time. Oh, what a way to grow older. Hartford Dock on a Sunday morn, ain't got time for the sermon. Got a good dry hold full of Springfield coal. Got a firebox kicking to start her. Connecticut turns at the Middletown bar. Then it's straight down the river to Haddam. The steamboat dock past Joshua Town. Then Saybrook Point and Long Island. River up, river down. Tied in a bar to cross over. 10 miles back we were making good time. Oh, what a way to grow old. River up, river down, tied in a bar to cross over. 10 miles back, we were making good time. Oh, what a way to grow older. Wind blows hot in the midday sun. Goddamn gasoline engine. Silver from another fish kill makes you wonder about your own condition. Keep an eye on that river and the broken up trees. Bars grow their own kind of gardens. Driftwood forests and the riverman's grave. Transom and rudders and anchors. River up, river down, tied in a bar to cross over. 10 miles.
Okay, folks, tune in next week. It's going to be an all Fisher Poets show. And Friday morning, I know Albert's going to have Fisher Poets. So, Yikes, so much going on around here. But this weekend, my last guests are here for this weekend, and I am very excited because we've got flamenco in town again. Brenna McDonald is here, and with her is cajon player Nick Hutchison. Okay, and fall in love with flamenco. How could anyone not? Right, Brenna?
Yeah.
Obviously, you have. Now, you've been on the show before, but there's a lot of folks who haven't heard you. So why don't you introduce yourself? And what is, you're the guitarist?
Yeah, my name's Brenna. Thanks so much for having me on the show, having us on the show. And I play flamenco guitar. I also dance. And I studied.
Not at the same time, however.
Not at the same time, okay. If I can help it. And I also study the singing, which is kind of the heart of flamenco, the cante.
Do you perform singing, or when you say you study it?
I study it. I'm an aficionado. I'm an aficionada. I appreciate it.
Right.
And we have an incredible singer coming out this weekend, Randa Benassis.
Cool.
So you'll hear that if you come out to the show. You'll hear her singing. She's fabulous.
Let's tell folks right off the bat, there are two times you can hear this and see this, because there's also dance. And the first time is at the Sou'wester in Seaview, where there is always something going on. And this is Saturday night at 8 p.m.,
yeah.
In the pavilion or in the living room?
In the living room.
Mm-hmm. It's a little, yeah. It's, wow.
It's going to be intimate.
It is intimate and delightful. Love the Sou'wester. The second time is a little bit bigger, still intimate, but it's right here in Astoria at the Performing Arts Center on 16th and Franklin at 7 p.m. Fall in love with flamenco. Whether you're familiar with it or not, I am personally here to give you a guarantee that you will love what you hear and see. So, Brenna, how long have you been involved in flamenco?
I think this is my 22nd year studying the art form, so it's been a lifetime.
Yeah. Did you do other kinds of guitar work before that?
Very briefly, I picked up the guitar and learned my basic chords and started doing some folk guitar, and then pretty soon after that I was introduced to flamenco, and there was no turning around. Yeah. It was a fascinating thing, and it's been continued to be fascinating, and there's always something more for me to appreciate and learn, which is very exciting. I feel like I'll never quite reach this point where I'm like, oh, I got that figured out.
Right. Isn't that wonderful?
I love it.
It's always growing. So, you started with the music and then began to do the dance as well. Had you been a dancer? You look like a dancer.
Yeah. Thank you.
I mean, you've got the body of a dancer. I know.
I started both at the same time, actually. Okay. So I was introduced to a flamenco family in Eugene, Oregon. And the mother was a dancer, and one of her sons was a guitarist. And they were my first mentors. And studying with them was a huge turning point for me. The love they brought to this art form really affected me at the beginning and made me think I couldn't imagine doing anything else with my life. That
Wonderful.
Was Martita Santiago in Eugene, Oregon.
I'm very envious, I must admit. But next lifetime, I'm going to do that. So how many folks are involved in this performance coming up this week, the two performances?
Good question. At the PAC show, we'll have four dancers.
Oh, wow.
Nick on percussion, our incredible singer, Randa Benassis, and myself on guitar.
Wonderful.
I think that adds up to seven people.
Yeah.
And then the Sou'wester will be six of us, so just three dancers.
Still. That's quite pretty amazing to pack in that space.
Yes, yeah.
That would be interesting to see.
Yeah.
I know you, Nick, said that you play more than talk, but and I'd love to hear if you can beat out, although we only have, maybe I'll let you beat out the end, but can you tell people what a cajon is, because, and spell it?
Sure, yeah. I play an instrument called the cajon, which is Spanish for box, carton, C-A-J-O-N. And it's basically a wooden box with a hole in the back And then wires or snares are strapped up along the inside of the front. So you get this kind of a snappy sound on the edge. And then as you go closer to the middle, it gets this bass tone.
Okay. I did not realize that. Now, you do not sit on this instrument.
You do sit on it.
This is the one.
It's the easiest gig out of all of them. Just carrying around your chair.
Bring your own chair. Oh, God. Well, you're a tall man.
That's true.
And your legs don't hang over the edge.
Huh? No, I'm yet to find a cajon that my legs dangle from, but I'm sure there's one out there.
How long have you been playing?
I played percussion for close to 20 years, and I've just gotten into cajon in the last five years.
Because of the music or because of the instrument, or what brought you into cajon and flamenco?
Cajoning. I met Brenna McDonald, and she was in need of a cajon player and knew of my skills as a percussionist, and it was a fascinating, quick entry into the art form, and it's a beautiful art form. I've had fun studying it.
Yeah.
And it's a lot easier on the back instead of the whole drum set.
Easier to carry around, too.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Okay, folks. Unfortunately, I meant to give these guys a whole half hour, and we ended up with squashed in, so you're not going to get to hear any live music. But you will Saturday night at the Sou'wester or Sunday night at the Performing Arts Center. That's where I plan to be. That's at 7 o'clock on Sunday. This Sunday, the 18th, or 8 o'clock at the Sou'wester. Fall in love with flamenco. What's the name of your group? Espacio
Flamenco.
And is there a website?
Yeah, you can find us at espacioflamencopdx.com.
And that's E-S-P-A-C-I-O.
Yes.
Flamenco, that's with a C, not a G, folks. And pdx.com. Thank you so much for coming in. Folks, I have a whole page of things going on. No time to let you know. So do stay tuned and for Left, Right, and Center. And thanks so much for being here. And let's all listen to music, dance, arts, make peace. Thanks for being here. Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook.